EDM board bombs.
Welcome back to EM Board Bombs. Welcome to the new year, 2024. It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be hosting this inaugural episode of 2024, Year of the Boards. Every year is boards, and that's why we are still in business. This is EM Board Bombs. We provide you the most cutting-edge board studying information. For each 15-20 minute episode, we are telling you what you need to know for boards, but also hashtag EM Life. No frills about it. We tell you straight up what's going to be on the test, and just what you need to know to be a good emergency physician. Not just good, we'll say great. This inaugural episode for 2024, the year of the boards, Hattu Hussain will not be joining us, unfortunately. You know, he's just a busy, busy guy. He just returned from an international trip. Yes, he was ringing in the new year in a different country. He was in charge of the ball drops in some, you know, non-disclosed location. I'm making most of this up, but that's all I got for now. Hey, so what better way to ring in the new year than talk about winter pathologies? Really fascinating to talk about this kind of stuff, also because I feel like most of the people that work in cold areas are going to scoff at someone from Tennessee telling them what they have to know about frostbite. Well, before we get into that, I have to mention our main sponsor, Emergency Medicine News. Emergency Medicine News is a free publication, and if you're an emergency doctor, you need to raise your hand right now and say, I want a subscription to EM News. That is something I need for the new year. EM News provides free publications to anyone who's an emergency physician. Just send them an email. Sign up. You can get it web-based. It's free online. There's no login or anything. Or you can get a paper subscription if you are old-fashioned and like to unravel the newspaper, as they say, and then use it for, you know, kindling later if you need to start a fire at some point to prevent frostbite. See what I did there? Hey, let's dive into this question. We got a 25-year-old hiker presenting to the emergency department after spending several hours in sub-freezing temperatures. Now, he states he was attempting to gain another 20,000 YouTube followers by filming another camping video of himself alone in the woods. Apparently, it's like a thing people are doing now. They film themselves alone in the woods, and they film something like alone for a cold night somewhere on a mountain. Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, unfortunately, he left his boots outside the tent last night because he was prepping his camera for the next film shoot, and it snowed the next morning. Now, his socks were soaked, too, in his boots. He says this was a hashtag rookie mistake, but he still plans to post the video anyway because he says it's, quote, clickbait gold, end quote. On exam, the affected toes appear pale and firm with loss of sensation. Pulses bilaterally are also difficult to palpate. So which of the following is the best initial management for this patient? Choice A, application of warm compresses to the affected toes. Choice B, bilateral lower extremity duplex ultrasound. Choice C, bear hugger with applied heating blanket. Choice C, rapid rewarming of the toes in water. Great answer here is going to be choice D, rapid rewarming of the toes in water. Of course, this is our new year, new you, year of the boards podcast. We have to talk to you about EM Rapid Bombs. Check it out. It's on our main website, emboardbombs.com. You can also click the link below here in the show notes of the podcast. We're on Twitter, all the socials. You can find our link to EM Rapid Bombs there. EM Rapid Bombs has over 410 episodes, I believe, and counting. These episodes are 2 to 4 minutes long. They tell you what you need to know for the boards. It's a streamlined podcast to tell you board-relevant information. Are there jokes on it? Every now and then. But it's really streamlined with, you know, just straightforward facts telling you what's going to be on the boards. Multiple-choice question format. We dive into a multiple-choice question, break it down, give you coaching, everything you need to know in less than 4 to 5 minutes. That's insane. We tell you what you need to know for the test. We tell you when something is going to be right on the test, wrong in real life as well. No one else is doing that, and that's why we're the only question bank podcast for any medical specialty. Thankfully, if you're an emergency doctor, you're in luck. It's your podcast, so check it out. So let's talk about frostbite. Great way to start off the season. We're in winter. I feel like we do a good job of being seasonal here at EM Board Bombs. In the summer, we talked about hyperthermia. A few years ago, we talked about hypothermia around winter. We were talking about the Chicago Great Cold when they had those record lows a few years ago. I shouldn't say record, though. I'm sure a few Chicago people are, again, scoffing as they listen to me. Most of the evidence from this podcast is coming from, like, Hennepin County and, like, Canada and other areas, and I'm just looking at our, you know, freezing temperatures here in Tennessee right now. I think the high today was, like, you know, I don't know, 51. Anyway, sorry to make you jealous, big northern friends of ours. Anyway, frostbite, big deal here. So it's a freezing injury, obviously, that occurs when tissues are exposed to temperatures below their freezing point. Basic science. Resulting in some chemistry things. Direct ice crystal formation and cellular lysis with microvascular occlusion. Scary stuff. So what is your job? Well, a lot of this is going to be your job. It's actually rare that you're going to be consulting people to deal with these injuries in the most mild of stages. You're going to be handling this all yourself. So you need to know what to do for these patients. This is one of the most classic winter emergency medicine presentations you have to know about. Now, your assessment is going to be looking at the affected areas for color changes, firmness, presence of blisters. So you have to know what the prognostic indicators are for a more favorable outcome. And on physical exam, that is going to be sensation to light touch or pinprick, normal skin color, okay, well, that's kind of obvious, and large blisters with clear fluid. I specifically remember this being a test question, knowing what different types of blisters are good, which are bad. Now, you don't want blisters at all. That's not a good thing. But if you have large blisters with clear fluid, that is a much better prognosis than large blisters with hemorrhagic fluid, obviously. Anyway, non-blanching cyanosis, dark fluid-filled blisters, like we talked about, right, hemorrhagic blisters, and any hard, non-deforming skin, that's concerning for poor prognosis, obviously. So speaking of prognosis, talk about the staging and severity. So frostbite is classified into some stages. There's a lot of controversy about this. A lot of redefining. There's, if you go to UpToDate and go to other medical websites, they talk about, hey, we should change the criteria here into essentially grading the levels of cyanosis versus just looking at the patient taking a clinical presentation. And that is a matter for the EM boards. So just don't worry about that. I would just memorize these quick four stages and then you're done. You don't have to think about anything else. And you don't have to remember these in detail. I'm going to tell you what the key details are. These four stages aren't really clinically important because you're going to do the same treatment every time. Surprise, surprise. But let's just go through them really fast. First degree frostbite, that is going to be numbness, erythema, edema, just general kind of tissue reaction. And there could be some white or pale plaques to the skin. It doesn't matter. Just know that this is going to be hyperemia, swollen, maybe numb, no blistering whatsoever. None. So no blisters. That's first degree. Second degree is going to have blisters. They're going to have pale colored or clear superficial blisters. There's going to be erythema still some edema. Great. So remember, first degree, no blisters. Second degree, clear blisters. Third degree, looking pretty bad. So third and fourth degree are often described together, and they're never going to test you the distinction between these two. Really, the key thing to remember is that third degree is hemorrhagic blisters. Things look really bad, deep numbness, like a deep partial thickness burn of some type. And the fourth degree is going to be, yeah, that's awful. Necrosis, gangrene, full thickness tissue loss. The area is going to appear hard, cold, white, anesthetic. That's it. Are they going to test between the difference between first and second degree and third and fourth degree? Absolutely. So remember, first degree is just red, numb, edema. Second degree has the clear blisters. Third degree has the hemorrhagic blisters. Fourth degree is dead. That's it. That's going to be it. Okay, so what is the treatment here? Well, regardless of the presentation, you're doing rapid rewarming. Rapid and gentle rewarming of the affected area of consistently warm water at 37 to 39 Celsius. If you're in the United States, that is 98.6 to 102.2 Fahrenheit. That's why the English system stinks, because Fahrenheit is obnoxious. You have all these decimal points instead of just 37 to 39 Celsius. Anyway, you want to avoid using, you know, really hot water here. You're using warm water. Like I just said, the temperature, consistent temperature source. Two things that are always the wrong answer in boards and always the wrong answer in life. One, using hot water, like direct hot, boiling hot water. Two, direct heat sources, like dry heat. This can cause burns in the already compromised tissues, and the dry heat can also cause more cell death. Now, what about if it's on the face? Frostbitten faces, of course, they can be thawed with warm water compresses. The ears can be used with small bowls of warm water, the patient laying on their side. thawing is usually complete, and this happens actually kind of quickly in the first, you know, two stages here, first and second degree stages. Thawing can complete within like 15 to 30 minutes or so. And it's done when the tissue is like red and purple and pliable to the touch. Which is actually fascinating, because this is another board question I've seen, is that they try to trick people into thinking, oh my gosh, it's red and purple, that's like dusky, that's ischemic. Not at all. That's the hyperemia that's reoccurring and reinvigorating that tissue. So red and purple, good to go. And of course, after you're done rewarming, you're going to gently dry and elevate and apply a bulky dressing to the affected area. Great. What about pain management? This is painful. Think about when you're out in the cold and you forgot your gloves. Again, people up north are like, every day, man, every day. Be attentive to how painful this is, especially during rewarming, as you know, the blood flow improves to that area. It's so painful. And so be very appropriate here with the type of medications you're giving to help these patients. Okay, what about blisters? I mentioned these blisters, right? So consider the risk of infection in these. This is so controversial. If you ever want to get a different opinion from any type of vascular surgeon or a plastic surgeon or burn surgeon, whatever, anybody that deals with blisters, mostly burn and plastics, if you ever ask them questions about blisters, I feel like it's a different answer every time. Some tell you never poke them ever. Some tell you you can de-roof them. Some tell you, oh yeah, take them out all the time because they'll just rupture anyway. No one knows what to do with these, and so you're never going to be tested on them. Just don't rupture the blisters unless necessary. We talk about this, or at least I talk about this. When I say we, I meant Ian Warbombs, talks about this in the quote-unquote minor burn podcast I did, I think last fall or some type, losing track of all these episodes I'm doing solo without Iltafat. Check that out, and that'll be helpful for knowing more details about the blister controversy. It's not going to be tested on when it comes to frostbite, though. Just don't typically rupture them. Great. Remember the global picture of the patient here? Two things that matter with frostbite. One, ABCs, right? Are they overall hypothermic? You're going to address that and rewarm their entire body. Remember the core first, extremities later. That's a very important distinction here. Another board test question you don't want to miss. See our prior episodes on hypothermia. I think it was, gosh, almost 5 years ago now. And of course, avoiding the refreezing. This is so interesting. It's really important that refreezing doesn't happen, meaning that if you're committing to warming up those extremities or the areas that are frostbitten, do it. Don't, you know, halfway do it, they get cold again, then do it again. This is a huge issue. Refreezing can cause additional damage to tissues. And it's now time for story time with Blake. All right, so picture this. We're in the 19th century, so 1800s Russia, and you are serving in Russia in Napoleon's army. Not a fun place to be, I might add. History nerds here are geeking out. They know where I'm going with this. And thankfully, the main surgeon, essentially, or military medical officer there is a man named Dominique Jean Larrey, who I'm butchering his French name. I'm so sorry. He is a pioneer in triage, ambulance care of the wounded. And there's something he notices. He notices that the soldiers who are sitting closer to the fire each night versus the ones who sit far away, all of them have frostbite, by the way. Everyone serving in that army has frostbite. He notices the ones who sit closer to the fire each night then go away to their respective areas. They freeze over the night. They wake up the next morning. They thaw out their wounds again. They have a much higher rate of losing their limbs later on with frostbite. Why is that? Well, the act of rewarming, freezing over time, aka the ones that sit closer to the campfire each night, they have a higher risk of tissue destruction. This is published in multiple different articles in medicine. And so, again, key point here, after a fun little story, if you're rewarming, commit to rewarming. Do not refreeze. Okay, what about imaging? Not important here in severe cases, like pulseless extremity after rewarming, right? You're going to do Doppler ultrasound. That's why choice B was incorrect about the bilateral lower extremity duplex ultrasound. Yeah, it's good to think about that because the patient here, you can't really palpate a good firm pulse, but that doesn't really matter. You're still going to rewarm them first, address the ultrasound after that. What about prophylactic antibiotics? These are controversials. Don't give them. I know in real life that it's, you know, complex sometimes. Sometimes these patients are homeless. Sometimes these patients can come in with wounds that are very old, maybe a week or so they've been out in the cold. Yeah, that's a different situation, but the average first-time presentation, frostbite, maybe have a blister or two, don't give them antibiotics. The boards definitely don't want you to do that. And what about specialists? When are you calling your friends to help you out? Vascular surgeons, plastic surgeons, Depending on who it is at your institution, there may be some rules in place. They may have, you know, involvement in severe cases. Like, you know, you gotta treat these things as severe burns, essentially. What about surgical management? Well, debridement, amputation, that's later on here, right? That's not going to be the first 12 hours here. We like to see how the perfusion begins, how these wounds rewarm, and then they talk later about potentially doing escharotomy, fasciotomy, initial debridement is only warranted, of course, if there's concern for compartment syndrome or significant infection, not responsive to antibiotics, and the patient has been on antibiotics, whatever. These are all complex cases that are so insanely not going to be on boards. And they're not that common in life either. The most common situation is acute frostbite. You rewarm them. They look good. They heal fine. You send them out with a good dressing, dry, elevation, etc. The ones that aren't that way, that's the grades 3 and 4. Remember the hemorrhagic blisters and or just, you know, gangrene, hard, cold, white, numb extremity. Anyway, that should summarize things here. So remember, for frostbite, we have rewarming for everything. We talked about the degrees, the differences here. Don't learn those too in depth. Just know the general features and just know of avoiding refreezing, and all those other secondary tests can wait later. Know that you shouldn't use dry heat. Know that you should avoid using hot boiling water or direct heat sources as well. And that is really it for EM Board Bombs. Remember that you can find us on emboardbombs.com. There you can also find our address to EM Rapid Bombs. Check us out. No better time to subscribe to EM Rapid Bombs than now. We got the ITE less than 2 months away. Oh my gosh, people are panicking now. The residents came back from holidays and they're like, what? What is this thing? It's already coming up less than 2 months. The seniors are like, I'm checked out already. The interns are like, I haven't started studying, or JK, I've secretly been studying since July. Either way, check out EM Rapid Bombs. It's a great way to study for the ITE. We offer residency discounts as well. Hopefully Dr. Hussein will join us next episode to welcome the new year with me. But otherwise, it's great to be back. We were super excited for an awesome year. Stay tuned. Drop an Apple review if you can. And I think that's all the instructions I'm going to give. This is Blake Briggs signing off. See you later.